Let's do a quick review. The first three brachos of days, and it's not because we're trying to butter up Hashem and get him into a good space, right, to go in for the ask. Actually, if I could get another sitter because it's missing a page. Oh, actually, I can do another page. I'm sure there's... I don't need it. Sorry. So, all right. The first bracha, each one of these praises enables us to be more aware of before whom we stand. Da lifnei mi ata omed. Okay? The first bracha we focused on quite extensively last time is that we stand in front of Hashem who cares, who's invested in us. That Eloheinu, ve'elohei avoteinu, Elohim, leman shemo. For the sake of his name, his name is at risk here, so to speak. Hashem is, so to speak, tied his destiny to us, because we are here to be Hashem, so to speak, PR people. We are here to promote the name of Hashem, that Hashem is one, and we are one with him and one with each other through him, and therefore Hashem cares about our future. And therefore, the first, you know, in order to have, so to speak, a leg to stand on for Yishmon Esrei, you need to believe that Hashem cares about you. If you don't believe Hashem cares about you, there's nobody to talk to. But the next bracha is Atagi Bor Le'olam Adonai. Now we're going to go inside it. Mechayei Meitim Ata. We didn't do it inside yet, did we? Atagi Bor? No, we didn't. Okay. No, we did. Okay, so we'll talk about it in general. Rav Loshia, you are powerful, Hashem. You are mighty, Hashem. You revive the dead, Rav Loshia. Great is your salvation, right? And then we start talking about the weather. Mashiva Ruach Mori Degashem, or here in Eretz Yisrael, we say Mori Detal, and so depending on what season is. Mechalke Chaim Bechesed, you support life with kindness. You revive the dead with compassion. Somech noflim, you lift up those who have fallen. Rofech olim, you heal those who are sick. Umatir asarim, and you liberate, you free those who are imprisoned. Umekayem memutun l'sheni afar, and you fulfill your faith to those who are sleeping in the dust. Micha mocha bagvut, who is like you, master of powers? Micha mocha midomelach, who is like you? Melech meimitum chayeh matzmiach Yeshua, you are a king who causes death, brings about life. Umatzmiach Yeshua, and you cause the flourishing, the growing of salvation. V'ne'amaret alachiyot mitim, and you are devoted to reviving the dead. Baruch atah Hashem. Blessed are you, Hashem, who is reviving the dead. So first let's try and figure out what's the general theme of this, and why is this so important, right? Like, because again, these first three brachot are setting our minds into the mindset of before whom it is that we stand. So we first need to know that Hashem is all-caring. What's the next thing we need to know? Yes. He's all powerful. Because if you don't think Hashem can do the job, you got nobody to talk to. Right? So I don't know if I share this with you. We talked about the book When Bad Things Happen to Good People by Kushner. No, I don't think so. Okay. So there was a best selling book called When Bad Things Happen to Good People by I think he's a conservative, maybe a reform rabbi by name of Kushner. And in his book, and I'm not judging him, because he went through a very tragic situation where he had a boy that had a disease called rapid aging disease, whereby he was going to watch his little boy rapidly age and die. And this triggered within him a deep struggle with why bad things happen to good people, you know, if not himself, but his child. Why? What did his child do wrong? Right. So in his book, when I read this book a long time ago, In his book, he basically goes through the classic theological responses to, you know, tzaddik v'ralo. Why do bad things happen to good people? And he shoots them all down, right? Until he gets to his final presentation. And this is his final conclusion as I understood it. And I'm pretty sure I understood it correctly. He said, we really have a choice. Either Hashem is all-loving, or Hashem is all-powerful. But he can't be both. Why? Because if Hashem is all-loving and all-powerful, then these kinds of things shouldn't be happening. So either he's all-loving and not all-powerful, so he just can't help you. He loves you. He cares. He's very sad, so to speak, about your difficult life situation, but he can't help you. Or he can help you, but he doesn't care, right? But he can't be both. He can't be all-loving and all-powerful. His conclusion was that Hashem is all-caring but not all-powerful. That was his conclusion. Right? About, I don't know, 30 years later, he wrote another book called, I think, The Lord is My Shepherd or something, based on that Tehillim, where he retracts what he said, which is interesting. Many years later, I happened to actually pick up the book, and I didn't read the book. I happened to be in a Barnes & Noble's, and I picked it up, and I started just randomly, you know, kind of surfing it, scanning it, and I found that he actually retracted what he said in his book, When Bad Things Happen to People. Well, we certainly don't believe that, because we believe that Hashem is all-loving and all-powerful. Ah, what do you do with all the bad things that happen to good people? You humbly wait for the answer, you know. And hopefully when we get on the other side, we'll get the answers. And I'm not in a hurry to get to the other side, so I'm willing to wait, okay? But we don't know. But if I don't believe that Hashem can help me, I have no reason to be talking to him, right? So he says, so then why pray? In his book, he says, why pray? If I don't believe Hashem is all-powerful, he says, I talk to God like I talk to a good friend. And it gives me comfort that I have a good friend that really cares, that will listen to me, even though he can't really help me. That's what he wrote in his book. That's what I recall. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's what I recall. Anyways, we believe that Hashem is all-loving and all-powerful. But now let's look at what the power is. Okay? Ata gibor le'olam Adonai. You are always powerful. So there's never a time where something's going out of whack, that Hashem is out of control. You are always powerful. Li'olam. Yeah? So even when things don't seem to be going the way you would assume a God would direct things, Hashem has not lost his power. He's not powerless. Okay? Mechaye metimata. You revive the dead. Now, obviously, reviving the dead is a big part of this bracha. Why? How do I know that? Because that's the end. So the end bracha is always retroactively telling you what the whole bracha was about. So therefore, the climax, or you might say the ultimate manifestation of gvura is mechaye metim, right? So that is the sign of true gvura, true power, is that Hashem can revive the dead. And why would that be a sign of the ultimate act of gvura? Yeah.
Because Hashem created us so that we would die. So if he can reverse how he created us, then that's the ultimate sign of power, I guess.
Okay. What else? What are you thinking, Charles?
I think all the other things that are mentioned, aspects of gvura, are things that humans can do, not on the same scale, but a human can heal this, or be a doctor, heal the sick, or set captives free. But
that's a nice idea. That'll be in your next book. Yeah. Okay. Good. All right. Yeah, I never thought of that one. I never heard that one before. I like that. Sounds good. Yeah.
So I would think, maybe I'm wrong, that dead doesn't necessarily mean literally dead, but just not what you want. You're in the dust. You're in the ground, but you're still alive. So
why is that a show of a gvura?
So while someone's praying, if someone wants help from God, then you would feel like he's dead. So when they're reading this prayer of him being ultimately powerful, that's what they would want to hear, that he can bring them out of the dust.
Ah, that's interesting. That's very interesting. Yeah. I would suggest,
I think you mentioned something, I don't know if it was in the Tefillah class or the Machshava class earlier in the year, that when we do averos or don't fulfill our mitzvos, a little part of our neshama dies.
Yes.
So
we are in the status of death.
So maybe you could say that Hashem has the power to forgive us.
That's true, but that's not my question right now. I'm not denying the gvura. But the question is, why is it that the epitome, the act that epitomizes gevura is mechayem etim? I think it's pretty simple, because Hashem can turn back time. It's like Hashem can take care of a situation that is the end. You know, like to get somebody out of prison. Okay, the guy's still alive, but to revive the dead. Wow, that's powerful, because that was the end. And yet the end for Hashem isn't even the end. So the Rambam says that is a show of ultimate power, you know, whereby that which seems completely helpless, right, hopeless, is not hopeless. That even that which appears to you as dead and no return, even that isn't dead. That's a show of tremendous power, yeah?
I think that, like, when we die, it's like because our tafkid, like we've done our role in this world, and that's why I forgot which commentary says it, but it says why Moshe didn't go into Eretz Yisrael, because like he couldn't relate to people on an individual scale, and like Yoshua could.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that if we're done, like Hashem is able to give us like another role, I think like that's powerful, because like
okay.
when our role is over, like we're able to.
Okay. But I would just, I love the drushes, but I think just simply, this is a show that even that which is hopeless, that which in every other situation, there's no turning back, right? Even that is not hopeless. So let's go inside a little bit more. Ata gibor l'olam v'dayim mechayim itim ata rav l'hoshia. Great is your Hoshia. What is Hoshia? What is salvation? Hoshea. Okay, let's do it again. What is Hoshea? What does it mean, salvation? It sounds pretty not so Jewish, salvation, you know. What is salvation? What does Lahoshea really mean? Yeah.
According to our school, power to save.
The power to save. Okay, but there's another word for saving, which is Lahatzil. And that could have also been there. Okay? So Rav Lahoshea also means that Hashem will restore your sense of being, right? In other words, you've lost your sense of being, which is death. It's a certain kind of death, okay? And you have in the word yesh hinted in there. So that's one way of understanding, okay? But then we start talking about the weather. And that's a little strange, and we'll get back to that in a second. Why? What's that doing there? So then it says, Mechalkei Chayim b'chesed, you support those who are alive with kindness, meaning you don't have to do this. Nobody deserves. What is kindness when I get what I don't deserve? I didn't earn this. It's just a gift, right? Life is just a gift. Mechayem etim b'rachamim rabim. Again, we bring it again. You revive the dead, but with great compassion, with unconditional love. Somech noflim, you lift up those that fell down. Rofechulim, you heal those who are sick. You liberate those who are imprisoned, right? Well, something seems strange here. I mean, if people are dead, if people are falling, if people are sick, if people are imprisoned, why did that happen in the first place?
Hashem
did that to them. So this kind of is a little bit, you know, like, wait a second, right? Wait a second, what's going on over here? You know, for instance, I heard a story from Rabbi Noach Weinberg, Zichron Revacha, the Rosh Hashiva of Eishet Torah. And a fellow came up to him after a class. He'd just been visiting. And he said, Rabbi Weinberg, do you actually believe there's a God? Right? So Rabbi Weinberg said, well, yes, I do. So he said, well, honestly, Rabbi, I think it's ridiculous, but I do too. But I'll tell you why I believe in God, because God saved my life. And this is my story. I'm on my motorcycle. I'm zooming along this mountain road. My bike hits a rock, and I go flying off the cliff. And I kid you not, Rabbi, as I am falling to my sure death, I literally felt, I experienced two hands catch me and slowly bring me down to the ground, and I walked away without a scratch. So, Rabbi, I know there's a God because God saved me. And Rabbi Weinberg said, well, I'm glad you know God saved you. Did you ever wonder why he pushed you off right, in the first place? Right? And so, yeah, God saves, but God pushed you off also. So why did he do that? It's the same question of Yetziat Mitzrayim. I mean, when you start talking on Pesach, you're talking about Hashem took us out of Egypt. Hey, who put us into Egypt in the first place? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? And that's one of the reasons why we have Karpas, Maror, which is the bitterness of the slavery, but then we eat it, we do a sandwich with matzah, which is, so to speak, that which represents the freedom. And we eat them together, celebrating not just the freedom, but also the slavery. Why? This is a very important idea. Right? Why? Yeah, why? Why would I thank Hashem for taking me out when he's the one that put me in there? Yeah?
I mean, what I've always heard is that it wasn't really God that put you there. It's you that put you there through your, like,
no, Hashem actually told Avram Avinu and Brit HaBetarim that your children will be strangers, and it's the plan. I mean, how the plan, you know, played out, but Hashem put us in there. Why? Yes.
I think it might be kind of a misconception of free will. Like, I think to a certain extent we chose, even though it was part of Hashem's plan. I mean, he knew we were going to.
Yeah, but that's not my question. My question is, why am I thanking Hashem for taking me out of Egypt when he put me in there? Ultimately, he put me in there.
Because we chose ultimately to do that path. And we're thanking Hashem for using like his divine providence to take us out.
Okay, well, how about this? Look at the bottom. This will just make it clearer. Melech meimit umchaye. A king who kills and revives. So there you go. I'm praising God that he kills and revives. Why not? Let's cut out the kill part, and then we don't have to get to the revive part, Hashem. Let's do that. Right? Because basically we're acknowledging that Hashem lifts up those who are fallen. Well, he could have stopped them from falling in the first place. You know, heals those who are sick. Well, he could have stopped them from being sick in the first place. So what is the Gevurah? Right? What is Gevurah? Ha-Koveshet Yitzro. Who is the Gibor? One who conquers his inclination. That's a Gibor. Okay? In that case, the inclination is what? The Yetzhara, the evil inclination. But if Hashem's called a Gibor, and the definition of a Gibor is Mia Gibor Koveshet Yitro, what's Hashem's inclination? What's Hashem's inclination? Yeah, Jay?
To go with what you're choosing to do, he could go with the path that the human is trying to take, and he's obviously, he could not be choosing the right path, so Hashem could just be like, this is your fault.
But what is Hashem's, what is, so to speak, Hashem's natural inclination? Yeah, so to speak. He doesn't have a Yetzer Hara. So what does he have? He has only a Yetzer Tov. So what would it mean that Hashem is Mitgaber, that Hashem conquers and overcomes his inclination? It means that Hashem overcomes his overflowing inclination for kindness, right, and holds back. Right? And why would that be important? Right? It has to do with the weather. The weather is the key to this. Right? Because the weather is telling you that Hashem is holding back. And that is a greater kindness. Sometimes the greatest kindness is to curb your kindness. Why? What's it got to do with the weather? Right? Now let me think over here. Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah.
It's like you never appreciate a sunny day if you never rainy days.
Okay. Good. Good. Excellent. What else? Yeah.
Asking for rain, we're in a way we're reaching out to God and like acknowledging he's the source of all of that. So,
but why is rain or dew? Where if a shadow you all at once, you'd be a flood. So his kindness is that